Welcome to Hearts to Believe. So good to have you join with us. Today, Jim Barber will be preaching from the book of Timothy with a message entitled, From Bad to Worse. Father, bless your word, we pray. Strengthen us through it. Receive praise, honor, and all the glory we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Reading from 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says, But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, avoid such men as these. For among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. Men of depraved mind, rejected in regard to the faith. But they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all, just as Jannes's and Jambres's folly was also. Now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured! And out of them all, the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. I speak to you from this chapter, chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, on the subject of from bad to worse. Not a cheery subject, but one that Paul, as he is anticipating to soon pass from this world, speaks out of deep concern for Timothy and for the leadership which he would exercise in a pastoral capacity. 2 Timothy is surely Paul's sign-off to this world. We have delighted in all of Paul's letters, and they are rich, they are meaty, they are deep. But here, Paul, he realizes that the end is very near. In chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And he speaks of a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to him on that day, but not to him only, but to all who have loved his appearing. Paul realizes that the axe will soon fall upon his neck. As a Roman, he had a privilege of not being executed by means of crucifixion. That did not mean that he could not be executed for crimes, supposedly, against the state and for going against the gods of Rome, for at least being a pest and a troublemaker. Paul wants to pour into Timothy and to all of us rich truth that would hold us in difficult times. You recall that Jesus himself, as he was bidding farewell to his disciples, about to go to the cross, "In this world you will have trouble. There will be difficulties of immense proportions." Out of 1 Peter chapter 4, the reading which we had. "Be not surprised at the fiery ordeal that is among you." Paul, in like manner, begins this chapter, "Realize this." He's taking Timothy over the miles and he's giving him a shake at the shoulders and he's saying, "Timothy, listen to what I have to say to you. Realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come." It's not that they might come. Realize that difficult times will come. Peter, Paul, John, in like manner, where do we find him? In the Spirit on the Lord's Day, but on Patmos, Death Island, and there the Lord appears to him. The first century Christians perfectly knew what it was to be immersed in difficult times. And I'm interested and intrigued that Paul, from his prison cell, Paul knew perfectly well what a prison cell looked like on the inside and what the typical routine of prison life was. Here he is writing, realizing that this is the last cell he will occupy. He's thinking about the last times and the difficult times that most certainly will come. Paul, aren't you in difficult times? Aren't you experiencing horrific things? Don't you understand that difficult times are all round about you? Paul realized that from the Garden of Eden all the way forward, that this world in our fallen state, that there have been difficult times and there has been a wholehearted repudiation of God's ways, and as a result, our fall and our undoing and our troubles are most certainly our own. But Paul, he is saying, they will only ramp up more and more, and that evil men will go, in fact, from bad to worse, if you can possibly get your head around that. And Paul, at the outset of chapter 3, begins with a list. He has done this in other places through his writings, where he speaks of those who have degraded themselves in a most horrific manner. They have jettisoned absolutely any and everything that could connect them to the God who has created them and loved them. And they have thrown all of that overboard. And Paul says, the reason why I am saying this, Timothy, is that men will be of this character. And in that word men, there is the generic sense of people, men and women. But I think that men will lead the charge as lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy. Quite a list. That's only the first verse of Paul's list. Lovers of self, people enraptured with their own concerns. Lovers of money. In the Old Testament, we had Baal worship. Baal, he was the god of thunder and lightning, of rain. Well, what do you get from rain? You get precipitation, which causes the crops to grow and thereby to enrich the people. Baal, though he was the god of thunder, rain, thunder, lightning, and rain, he was essentially the god of prosperity, the god of commerce. Well, even as there were worshippers of Baal, worshippers of money, thousands of years ago, it continues all the more today. Boastful, arrogant revilers? Has the gospel, has the things of God ever been more blatantly reviled than in our day? Disobedient to parents? Ungrateful? Thanksgiving barely passes with a nod of the head, except that we pamper ourselves in some way or another. Then verse 3, unloving, irreconcilable. That catches my attention. Paul, when he wrote to the Romans, he said, as much as it is possible, in you, as much as there is in you to do, live at peace with all men. I like that verse because I've seen it that some men and women, they have no interest in reconciliation. They want, it would seem, to stir up hostility, difficulty. They want to be angry. Paul says in the last days there will be difficulty because people will be unloving, irreconcilable. They'll be malicious gossips. It won't be enough just to gossip, but they'll want to get to the very bottom of the barrel and get the real sludge and slime and the real good stuff. Without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited. How proud we are. How proud we are. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. God has made us in His image. There is the stamp of the divine, and in that stamp, though marred so horribly by sin, there is yet that as God is love, there is a love that must be expressed by the human heart. The desire of the devil in having us fall into sin is that that love which ought to be directed to God, rightly, properly, appropriately, that be turned in another direction. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God is the charge that Paul brings against those in the end times. Holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, they would say it is bankrupt. How I see this in many different places. This past week, after having allowed the mail to pile up in the mailbox for several days, I pulled it out and was going through it. I came across a particular mission which has me on its list from some while back. And I opened the envelope, just curious to see what was up. And they were having a fundraiser. And there was something missing in the appeal. And I thought, I'm going to look through this entire letter and see whether I can discern anything whatsoever that would show me that this is a Christian-based ministry. I couldn't find anything. Nothing in the language, nothing overtly, most certainly, that they were anything but a do-good outfit. That concerned me. A form of godliness. Let's show kindness. Let's show love. Let's be good people. Let's be generous. But let's not talk about Christ. Let's not talk about sin. Let's not talk about us being undone in our state and unable to help ourselves. Let's talk about just doing some good, some form of what God might want us to do. They have robbed. They have robbed the gospel of its power, seemingly embarrassed by it. Paul says, avoid men such as these. He talks about weak women. Now, all women aren't weak, but he's referring to a particular bunch who, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, and individuals who go to these, and they are always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What a word that is, and how it smacks at us in a gospel-rich church culture where we have the Word of God and preaching and teaching and where we are able to grow. Are we falling under that same accusation, always learning, but never moving forward? You see, to move forward in growth is to take what we know and to use it, to work it out, to have it impact not just an hour on a Sunday morning, but every hour all through the week. Here, these, they were always learning, but never able to move forward. They were depraved of mind, and they were rejected. In regard to the faith, they would make no progress, Paul says, and their folly would be obvious to all. Paul then says, but you, Timothy, I want to talk to you specifically. These others who are outside of the blessing of God, whether they be completely outside and ignorant and unknowing of all that God has done, or whether they be like the wolves that Paul spoke of to the elders in Ephesus, he says, I know that afterwards there will be some who will arise from within. They will scatter the flock. Paul, he's speaking both to those who are completely on the outside and those who are seemingly having a form of godliness but denying its power. Paul says, but you, Timothy. Timothy, you have had the privilege of walking with me, and you have followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance. You have shared in the persecutions and the sufferings that we have known. And Paul could think back, Antioch, Iconium, Lystra. And he says, oh, what persecutions! It wasn't simply that there was a little bit, but he says, what persecutions I endured. But the Lord was right there with me. He was caring for me. He was seeing me through. The Lord rescued me out of them all. But Paul, he says, Timothy, lest you are of the misguided impression that I got myself into hot water because that's just sort of what I'm like, that I attract trouble like a magnet attracts metal filings. Paul says, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And Jesus says an amen. And Peter would say an amen. And John would say a hearty amen. But Paul says evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse. Deceiving others, lying to others and themselves. The lie will come back upon themselves, they in like manner being deceived. Now, Paul has spoken about what has happened between him and Timothy in their work. Now, Paul takes a forward view, and he says in verse 14, you, however, Timothy, continue. How are we to live in days such as these? How are we to live in times where men and women are lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and the whole list long? How is it that we live for God in these days? Paul, he speaks to Timothy of days such as what we know firsthand. He says, you, however, continue. He says, don't jettison your faith thinking that it is of no value, that it is only for when the sun shines bright and when the skies are perfectly blue and there is just that gentle breeze. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of. Those things which have impacted your cranium as well as your chest cavity. Those things which have been gripped by brain cells as well as by your heart. Things you have learned. And things that have grabbed a hold of you and you know them to be true. Knowing from whom you have learned them. Paul very rarely speaks of himself in glowing terms, for he says, I know what I was before Christ entered my life. I know I was a violent persecutor of the brethren. I know that I am the least of the apostles because of my actions there. But in the right time, he comes and he says, I am an apostle and I have the authority to speak as one who has seen the risen Christ. And Paul says to Timothy, you continue, you keep going, because you know from whom you have learned these things, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings. From his mother, from his grandmother, Timothy had been instructed in the sacred writings. And Paul says, those writings, the Old Testament scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul, when he was writing to the Galatians, he speaks of the law which served as the tutor for us as we were through the Old Testament. The law was our tutor to lead us to Christ. Galatians chapter 4. Here in similar language, Paul, he speaks of Timothy, how that he had been instructed in the Old Testament and that that was to bring about salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And Paul, he's saying, Timothy, I'm about to sign off for the last time. There won't be a third Timothy or a fourth Timothy. This is it. But Timothy, you have the scriptures to instruct and to bless and to help you in those difficult times that will most certainly come. Hold on to them. Hold on to them. Because in the last two verses he says, all scripture is of this most remarkable character. It is like nothing else that you could ever find or create. It is all inspired by God, and it's profitable for teaching, Pastor Timothy. It's profitable for reproof. It's profitable for correction. It's profitable for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate. Now, adequate sounds like sort of a second-rate term, in my vocabulary at least. I don't want to be just adequate. I'd like to be dazzling. I'd like to be impressive. I'd like to be amazing. But when we talk about adequate at the workshop of God, it is amazing, impressive, and dazzling, that the man of God might be formed and fashioned by the work of God's Spirit in the Scriptures, that the man of God might be completely, fully, perfectly adequate for whatever faces him, equipped for every good work. How do we live in times when men and women arrogantly, brazenly go from bad to worse? When we see things taking place that only a few years ago we could not have possibly imagined not only taking place, but being celebrated very loudly. We hold and we continue in the things we have learned and become convinced of, knowing that they come to us from the very hand of God, and that they are able to do what no other could possibly do. They can instruct, they can correct, they can train, that we might be adequate and that we might be equipped for whatever challenge comes before us.
Thank you for joining us today for Hearts to Believe. We are celebrating Christmas this year in a very big way with the release of two brand new Christmas CDs. The one CD includes 17 dearly loved songs of Christmas as well as 8 Christmas scripture readings. The first CD is Call His Name Jesus. The other CD is completely in German and contains 14 songs along with Christmas scripture passages. We would be delighted to share the English Christmas CD or the German Christmas CD with you. Can't decide which one? You are welcome to request both CDs. We send these out free and postage paid. Write to us at Hearts to Believe, Box 426, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3C 2H6, or call us toll-free at 1-833-367-3852. That address again, Hearts to Believe, Box 426, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3C 2H6, or call us toll-free at 1-833-367-3852. Do join us again next week at this same time. Hear now Paul's benediction to the Corinthian believers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.